At the Horses, our podcast. And welcome to another edition of Win at the Horses podcast. Joe Kelly here with Bill Kelly. Father and son dishing about the horses here. And it's an exciting time of the year in January, the end of January. The three-year-olds went into February will be in high perspective on this Saturday with a lot of three-year-old races spanning the entire country. So welcome, Dad. How you doing?
I'm doing terrific, Joe. Great to talk to you.
Yeah, great to talk to you. And you start to focus on what is for the Triple Crown, some of these horses that maybe make the cut. Let me ask you before we get in specifically the races, what do you look for horses? Some of these horses have only run 7 furlongs, maybe a mile, occasionally longer than that. But are you basing the progression to a jump up on pedigree or trainer? Or how do you deal with that?
Well, I think at this time of year when they're coming, you know, they're just coming in, they haven't run, you know, most of the horses haven't even run 2 turns. Mm-hmm. Other than New York, I mean, New York is a little difficult because you don't have 2 turns,
right?
You know? But you really have to project out a horse from 2-year-old to 3-year-old. You know, the ones that were. I mean, let's face it. The history of Kentucky Derby, the horses that were so successful at 2-year-old don't necessarily win the Kentucky Derby.
Right, right.
What does it happen, once or twice?
Yeah, very, very rare.
And American Pharoah, right?
Right, yeah.
But in any event, it's difficult. Because and the only thing is to check the breeding, etc. It's a guess. I mean, there's no way other way of doing it. You know, I mean, horses that were not necessarily winning ran as a 2-year-old, and now they're showing up in a race, and all of a sudden they have a huge uptick. You know, mm-hmm. Interesting. Just while we're talking, I was listening to you have the book, Barry Meadows' latest book with
his latest book.
Yeah.
What do they call it? Big look at the statistics. I'll tell you in a second.
Yeah. And I heard one, they're doing a, once a week out here on the racing radio.
The skeptical handicapper.
Huh?
The skeptical handicapper.
Skeptical handicapper, right. But he did the one this week was horses that run their top race and win, okay? Mm-hmm. In other words, their highest speed rating and they win. Only win 15% of the time next out.
Even at 3-year-old, is he including those?
It's got nothing to do with age.
Okay.
So in other words, a horse that let's say Byers figure's been running Byers at 80, and all of a sudden runs at 90. The next time out, he gets bet like crazy because he won, right? Winning form is the best form. Unfortunately, the statistics don't show that.
Right. Wow.
So, I mean, he's if you bet against that horse, 85% of the time, you're going to be right.
There you go.
You know?
So take that and put it into your handicapping toolbox and see how it works out.
Yeah. Well, the other one that always, he always talks about is that everybody thinks blinkers on is the big thing. And in reality, blinkers on loses money, mm-hmm. ROI wise, and blinkers off actually has a positive ROI. So the exact opposite, which is what we should be looking for anyway in a horse race, to be bet against the public, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So
do you want to start with, we'll start with the Withers out at Aqueduct.
Sure.
They're actually going to a distance just a step away from the mile and a quarter of the Derby. They're running at a mile and eighth, the Withers, two turns. I think they've run it at a mile and 16th before, but they're lengthening it this year.
Is it, has it always been a mile and a 16th?
I think last year it was. I could be wrong, but.
I'd have to look.
Yeah, I'd have to look. But go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm with you.
This race has some shippers in from the Mid-Atlantic, Laurel and Pennsylvania, and some horses who have done well already. Mm-hmm. In New York, broke their maidens. How do you see with this race?
Well, the horse that's going to be probably favored, although looking at the morning line here, they've got Pletcher's horse favored, is the number two, Monday Morning QB. Mm-hmm. Who is stretching out from 7 furlongs to a mile and to 9 furlongs, you know?
Right.
Which is a huge distance-wise. If it was going the other way, you'd be more confident. In other words, going from 9 furlongs to 7 furlongs. But he's the horse everybody's talking about. He should have the first call and second call be on the lead, you know. So, but the eight looks like a horse you can't ignore. If they start, you know, because he's already won at the distance in the slop.
Yep, his last one. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was a maiden. It was a maiden special weight. So again, he's going from maidens to winners, where the two has already beaten winners.
I got to correct before I get into more with you on that. I got to correct myself. The last two runnings were at a mile and eighth the last 2 years.
Oh, okay.
And then they were a mile 16th, and way back it was always a mile. So. They've been working up.
It's unusual because they were talking about that today, how it's a mile and an eighth in this race, but the next big race in New York is a mile and a 16th. They cut back.
Yeah, that is interesting, yeah.
And I think this is a two-turn race, right?
Right, yeah.
At Aqueduct, a mile and an eighth is two-turn, which is probably why they run it, you know.
Right.
But at Belmont, and I think the next one is what's the next big race
in New York?
Next big race.
Well, the Wood is the one right before the
Derby. And that's where, Wood is where, Aqueduct 2?
Yeah, it's at Aqueduct 2.
Okay, all right. So I was going to say, well, you know, that's a 9 furlongs too, right?
Yeah, right.
So, in any event, the only thing that I see in this race, when you look at the difference between the two and the eight, you got Lascano. I mean, New York this time of year has not got a hell of a lot of big-time jocks there, you know?
Right.
And the eight's got Lascano. So you got to put him where the two has got Vargas. You know, Vargas is a journeyman who, you know, rides a lot in the Maryland and Philadelphia area. The The other horse that probably you got to keep in look at is the number six.
Yeah, that's the one I like.
You like that one?
Yeah, I like Prince of Pharaohs, but at the same time, maybe coming from too far out of it, but
not really. You're looking at his running style. He's
yeah, that's right. He's only you're right.
He's really. I mean, he's somewhat of a presser, mid pack type of horse. I don't think if I remember the speed map of has got let me pull that up.
They've got him mid pack.
Yeah, he would be mid pack, I would think.
Yeah. Oh, so. I found the race before the wood. It's the Gotham.
Gotham.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's a mile.
That's a mile, right. Yeah, so they're cutting back. Which is strange. The whole thing is kind of strange.
Right.
So, the looking at the, this race, if you look at the trainers, throw Pletcher out, you look at the trainers, Rice is the only top-notch New York trainer. Everybody else is coming from Maryland or Philadelphia.
Right.
So in any event, I think that covers it.
Yeah. So you think there'll be any overlays in this race, or do you think it's going to play out pretty much the way the morning line?
Yeah. The only thing I would think looking at that race is Linda Rice has got two in a race, right?
Yeah, she does. She also has Max Player putting on the blinkers.
Yeah. And who's the other? Hang on. Let me pull that up again.
Yeah, Prince of Pharaohs, the six.
The six. Yeah, I like that six. That six is, and I think that six or should be the longer price, right?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. But I mean, that horse that hit you for second in Independence Hall, who everybody was raving about, was in that race.
Right. So that's
So that'll be the eighth race at Aqueduct, the Wither Stakes, and we move along?
Excuse me, Joe. The other horse in that race is Shotsky, who it was pointed out today. That I was listening to Jeff Siegel on his blurb on ExpressBet, and they were pointing out that this five, that Saez is flying up to New York to ride this horse and ignoring all the stakes races at down in Gulfstream.
Wow, so.
So that's one to keep in mind too.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think the odds, you got to look at the odds. I mean, if that horse, the morning line odds on that horse is 2-1. I mean, that, he's a bet against it 2-1. Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't take any horse 9-2 or less in this race.
And that's the Withers at Aqueduct. And how about we move down south where Mr. Saez has abandoned for one day. They've got the Holy Bull, which is always.
Well, there's a few too, stakes right? on that race.
What do you want to touch on?
Well, let's start in the sixth race is the forward gal, right?
Yeah, for fillies, 3-year-old fillies. Yeah.
Yeah, and the horse here that's got some interest is the one. Mm-hmm.
Talking Nikki and Papa?
Yeah.
It's the debuter.
The debuter.
Yeah.
Why would you run her in a stakes race?
Yeah, that's a tall order, but maybe.
And it's got I think that's a girl jockey on him too, right?
Yeah, I'm not familiar. Yeah. Olson, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Bobby saw Hess. Her the other day, and she just got nipped at the wire. She looked like she could ride.
So she's riding out at Gulfstream regularly now?
Well, she's down there. I only see her a few times. I haven't seen her. I mean, she's ridden 21 times so far this year.
Okay.
And won out of the 21, 8. So she's got some talent.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the horse it's interesting. They have this horse. The horse that is getting the most look is the 6, Total in Shape.
Right.
And but I mean, you know, this guy, they'll be checking him out. Safi.
Safi, yeah, Safi Joseph.
I mean, he's a little unreal.
Yeah.
Oh. You know, but he's got eye right on him, and you know, I mean, he looks like you can't ignore him.
Right.
Or ignore her. She's 2-for-2, undefeated. You know, I mean, you know, undefeated. And the other horse that might be of consideration would be the 4.
Street of Dreams coming in for Ian Wolf, yeah.
So that's what I saw there. Then the 8th race, Swedish Chant Stakes, is that the...
Yeah, with a race which has been dominated by Chad Brown in the past.
Yeah, I think, and the favorite is Chad Brown, right?
Right.
And Kessel.
Yeah. The Klarovich.
But the interesting thing to me, you got all. I mean, this race is, you know, the 3, the 7, the 1, and the 4 all ran against each other. You know, in the most recent race, and the 1, 3, and 7. The 7 had got steadied, so was favored, and ran a hell of a race. So the 7 is the horse to beat.
Right.
I didn't see too much there to beat her. Did you?
I mean, the 3 beat her. Right. For a long shot, I was maybe looking for Moana's Tail, the number 2. Who ran pretty well when it switched the turf up at Aqueduct, but
And she's been down there for all of January, I guess.
Right, getting acclimated. Yeah. So.
With Franco, you know, I've gotten to the point now where, particularly in the money, when you start thinking about exactas and tries, etc., you get on these turf races, look for the jockeys who were, you know, Irad, Jose,
right,
Castellano, you know, Saez. These guys can really ride, you know.
Oh yeah.
So.
I don't really recall too many times Manny Franco down in Gulfstream the last couple of years.
Yeah, he usually stays in New York.
Right.
Maybe he came down there as a replacement for Science.
Oh, yeah.
Looking at the record, he hasn't run this year down there.
Yeah, right.
Right down there.
So, that is the 8th race, the Swedish Chant on the turf for 3-year-olds. And then the Swale, which is a 7-furlong race for 3-year-olds. And some of these horses may not be up for the mile and a quarter for Kentucky Derby, but nice horses nonetheless. How did you see this one?
The one that got DQ'd in the... He ran in this race last year. This is the race he started with.
Oh, okay.
The horse of the year, whatever the horse of.
Oh, he did start with this. Oh, okay. Security.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And, all right. So he's you know, this is an interesting race here. Like the four, who finished second in the Champagne, mm-hmm. is cutting back. You know.
Right.
And I would say this horse has got some really got some talent.
Green Light Go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other horse is the two Untitled.
So those two likely the top two betting interests.
Yeah, I'm looking at yeah, I would say those are the two. With maybe the six is a. Kathleen Owen's been riding pretty good, pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. Stanley Huff has resurrected his training career pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently he was sick.
Oh, is that why he stepped aside?
Yeah, and then he's back now.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, he's a 23%, you know, for the last year, he's a 23% trainer. You can't, not going to sneeze on that.
No, not at all.
So,
did you take a look at the 10th at Dania Beach?
Yeah. What did I see here?
I was another 3-year-old. Yeah.
Yeah. The horse that was interesting. This is an interesting race. The horse again. I like the 11. I would make sure I got. Yeah. I got the, you know, I'd like to see some odds there.
Right.
But making his first start, apparently City Zip is very good on first time turf. Mm-hmm. You might have to look that up, but he's running for the turf for the first time, so.
What do you think the mindset for Billy Mott to first five starts to be on the dirt and then all of a sudden make a switch to the turf?
Well, let's take a look at him. I'll pull him up here.
Okay. Last ran out at Churchill.
I mean, the horse is bred for turf.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
There's no question about that. I mean, he's a turf horse. Mott's record, first turf, is, you know, not great. I mean, but the other thing is his first-time Lasix, and that he's very good at.
Mm-hmm.
Dirt to turf is okay.
Right.
You know, so I mean, look at the horse is going to be on the outside. He's a closer,
right?
But he draws Johnny V. You know,
and being on the outside, Gulfstream on the routes turf is not necessarily a drawback.
No, right. Looking at the profile, it is. Definitely not a drawback. You know, I'm looking at 16 races the last couple of weeks, and there are 8 out of 16. Half the time, our horses are 7 and out.
Oh, okay.
And this is a race that you might want to look for a price because they seem to be coming in, you know.
Yeah,
and the closing speed is also a very important thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. So the big upside,
see, this is where you have to be careful. See, I'm looking at the race, and you look at the number three horse. And voila, it's Billy Mott and Jose Ortiz. Who I think Jose Ortiz is as good a turf rider as there is right now. You know, I think even better than his brother. But that's my opinion, you know.
Right.
But it's interesting that you would put both horses, that you would have two horses in the same race.
Yeah.
Uncoupled. Mm-hmm. The 11 should be the longer price.
Right.
And if he's in the, you know, above 10 to 1, I would think he's worth the bet.
Maybe box him up with the three?
Could be. Could be. Let me look
the six also looks pretty strong. One, it's last out, nice closing kick.
Yeah. The six is the other horse that I could put in there. Maybe they box the 3, 6, and 11. Mm-hmm. I mean, the three has really a huge closing advantage on other horses.
Right.
So that's a good point. Yeah. 3, 6, 11.
3, 6, 11, and hopefully that 11 is in the mix, hopefully on top, because it'd be most likely the price. So that is race 10. Yeah, mm-hmm. Race 10 at Gulfstream. You know, the winter meet down there has been really strong, and race 11 is a big prep race for the Triple Crown, the Holy Bull for 3-year-olds, mile and 16 on the dirt. And do you see any serious contenders in this one? Tis the Law going off 3 to 5.
Well, I'll tell you, you're going to have to keep an eye on number two, only because of the trainer, you know?
Right, yeah.
And he's going from turf to dirt. Let me look at that. Is a lot of these guys, you know, they're excellent on the turf, I mean on the dirt, but they're second round, first round, wins last. He's got all kinds of positive things, dirt and turf.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure what he puts Zayas up, so.
Zayas, yeah, that's right.
The horse that looks to me that's going to be tough to beat is the horse to beat is the one, Toledo.
Mm-hmm. With Chad Brown.
Trainer, Chad Brown.
Yeah, up and comer.
But he's got Irad on there. I mean, the two of them are tough together.
You know? Right.
But again, you look at this horse. I mean, this is where you gotta. He ran a mile, came in two and a half lengths behind. He lost to the four.
Your guy being Cone.
Yeah, my boy.
Yeah.
But I looking at the problem is that you look at this race. I mean, it's hard. The problem that I mean, they're anticipating a very hot pace, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, right.
And and which is, you know, pretty standard here because One, the Gulfstream is very pace, you know, oriented. And two, these are young horses, and basically it's hard to get them to, I mean, you look at the running styles of these horses, and the only the true closer is number three.
Right, right.
Who's probably the best horse in the race.
Yeah, so, and another thing is it's tough to close a Gulfstream, so you don't know if that'll compromise the three from
Lone But it Buck. Looks like he's going to get enough speed to do that, you know?
Right. Manny Franco down there.
Yeah.
Who is
now we know why he's in Florida.
That's right. The last two with Barkley Tag and the veteran trainer Barkley Tag, sticking with Manny Franco, of course. So he's down for this ride, I guess.
Mm. Yeah. But that, I mean, this is a really good race. I mean, you're talking about the 1, 2, 3, 4 are all horses that can win this thing.
Right.
And
so that's a three-year-old. Yeah, that's a three-year-old take on the Holy Bull. Race 11 at Gulfstream Park. Joe Kelly here, Bill Kelly as well, bringing you a little preview to Saturday's stake action. And nice to see great races out there. Before we get into the Santa Anita card, how about Pegasus Day? Any comments on that?
Well, apparently the favorite I heard this morning was... they think it was sick. That's why it didn't run well.
Oh, okay.
And his blood work was not good. It was elevated, so he's on the shelf for a while.
Right.
I mean, what do you say about Baffert? That horse, I bet in the future book on the Kentucky Derby.
Right.
And he never even ran in the Kentucky Derby. But I always thought that horse was going to be something. So let's see. If he continues his progression, then we'll be betting him in the Saudi Cup next month.
That's right, yeah.
So
one
to keep in mind.
Yeah, look forward to that. Now, yeah. Santa Anita. Nice spotlight over there. They've had their hard times, but some nice races over there this upcoming
week. I just saw this morning just a little while ago, John Nundo tweeted out that they're not going to be running on the 6th, that they're really running out of horses.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So what race?
February 6th, next Thursday. They were scheduled to run 4 days a week.
Oh, okay, so now it's going to be down to three?
For next week, it's down to three.
Oh, that's not good. Yeah. I can understand in New York weather-wise, but they got beautiful weather out there. So.
Yeah. No, I mean, they had a number of trainers. I mean, O'Neill took, 11 horses over to the Middle East and... they won't let Hollendorfer run there at all.
Right.
He's gone to Oakland, and a lot of these guys have taken horses to Oakland. So, and even they've lost their jockey colony, you know, Baez and Talamo are riding full-time in Oakland.
So you think Talamo's a permanent move out of the SoCal scene?
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. I a lot depends on. I'm sure he'll be back for Del Mar, you know.
Right.
But they're trying to get Derby mounts, etc. And I think they're saying, hey, we're not seeing it in California, you know.
Right. So let's take a look at race 6, which is the Bob Lewis, famous trainer of years back, which is going off at a mile and a 16th. And Bob Baffert has a strong one in here.
Yeah. Yeah, he's always certainly the horse.
Ended, all right.
Yeah. But, you know, there are a couple of, to me, I hear, he's a kind of a lazy horse. And if you look at his workouts, he's, you know, for a Bob Baffert horse.
Yeah.
He's really not that good. Although he keeps Pratt, which is a good thing. They're putting blinkers on, which you're trying to get, I assume, some attention there.
Right.
Baffert's got another horse in that race, right?
Yeah, he's the one, Joel Rosario's, the number 5 high velocity.
Yeah.
Which, another horse that doesn't work, well, at least the last two workouts, not too strong, but should yeah. You want the lead, go for the lead, Mr. Rosario. Well, both horses like to go up front, so.
Yeah. The horse that, Tis Magician, Mandala's horse.
Right.
You know, depending on the price has everything to do with it, you know. You might want to exact a box the 3 with the 2.5 or any of the long price horses to finish second with the 3 on top. And the reason is you look at his record, he's run 6 times and finished second 4.
Right.
You know, so there's no question he likes to finish second. But obviously he seems to be getting better. As the distances go on, you know, definitely not a sprinter. He's got speed to be there, but and got a decent jockey, Victor Espinoza.
Pedigree looks pretty strong for the long distances.
Yeah. So I would say exact a box the 3 with the 2.5, and then maybe 3 with the. The 1.4, you know, just in case something drastic happens, you know.
And that's the Robert Lewis, the 3-year-old showcase, one of the races on the card at Santa Anita. Nice turf race, which is the 7th of San Marcos, a Grade 2, 1.25 miles on the turf.
Mm.
Brings in some nice gallopers there on the grass. So, you like the number 4, right? The Mandela horse?
Yeah, I like that 4. I had it 4-2-3.
Okay.
You know, my boy Rispoli's been doing very well.
Right.
And you know, you got to take a look at the 7 too with Rosario on there.
Yeah, those longer races, he's just got a knack for being right there. All sorts of pace styles too.
Yeah. You know, he's the trainer is excellent. You know, so that the 4 is the favorite, and you know, man, it looks to me like you've got. Probably an exact box the 4 with the 2.37.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, I think you got it covered.
Yeah. You know, that United is just a solid horse. Just...
Yeah. Yeah. He runs, you know, he's, although he lost to the 7 by a neck, mm-hmm. he lost to the 2 by you know,
right,
1.25,
and then the
so I mean he's beatable,
right.
So, but I mean he ran a bullet, a 46-4 his last work on the 26th, so he's obviously ready and raring to go.
Well, that'd be a nice race to see some really strong horses on the grass. Some graded stake winners, the San Marcos Race 7. And I believe the last race of the day for stakes races is the eighth race of San Pascal, mile and an eighth on the dirt. And you like Bobby Baffert, this horse, Midcourt, pretty strong, right?
Midcourt, yeah. Five, I like the five.
John Sheriffs, I'm sorry. Yeah.
You were confusing.
Yeah.
But again, you know, you look at the horse. I mean, he ran one, two, three, four races he won, and then he finished third behind the four. Right? He got blown off the last race.
Right.
He's a good, he's a decent horse. I would say that the contenders here to me are the one, the five, the six, and the eight.
Okay.
So.
And maybe for the bottom of the ticket, the six, Instagram, which was a horse which had Derby aspirations, but.
Yeah, what happened to that horse? I looked at that horse and, I mean, you know,
I think there were some injuries back then, right?
You're probably right.
I mean,
you know, but Rosario's jumping off of him, so that's not a good sign. Although they're putting
your Hong Kong guy.
I don't think Rispoli is as good on dirt as he is on turf.
Right.
This is a Hollendorfer runner.
Right. You think he's given instructions from afar?
I don't know. Chakdos is he was a trainer himself at one time, and then was Hollendorfer's second in command in New York. Right? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I don't know. Good question. I don't know. Looking at it, you've got, to me, it looks like the four and the five class-wise are the two horses that you most gotta be looking at, you know?
So I believe that is the last stake race we're going to focus on, unless you have another one on that day.
Yes. Is
that pretty much covered it?
I think we've done it.
Now we got to ask you for Super Bowl, any interest in the Super Bowl, any prediction or just going to watch?
Well, I'm definitely going to watch. It's an interesting, my head says the defense is going to win, therefore the 49ers should win. Kansas City is really, and then of course, you know, Reed's record is atrocious in the big games. I mean, my head says it's San Francisco. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I hate betting it. I mean, there's no question that the Kansas City quarterback is better than the San Francisco quarterback.
Right.
And San Francisco losing their best running back in that game, I don't think he's going to play.
Okay.
With a separated shoulder, you know.
Yeah. Might be tough.
So their third string was actually the one that did all the running against the Vikings. Not the Vikings, the Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't know. I've never been impressed with the 49er offense. And yet, you know, when you look at, I saw the game they played against New Orleans. Neither team. It was like the defenses, they didn't show up on either side, you know.
Right.
So it's hard. It's really hard to evaluate. They have a very good tight end. And I'm not really impressed with Kansas City's defense.
So, you know, a lot. Yeah, the line is so so tight, one point either way. So,
yeah.
How about the Knicks? Do you think we'll see any improvement in our lifetime for the New York Knicks?
Oh, I don't. I wouldn't go that far. I look at that team and I see the other. I've been watching. Actually, this for some reason, Jimmy got me back into your brother. Jimmy got me back into watching college basketball.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I've watched a few of the pro games. So, you know, the Mavericks. He really is into the Mavericks.
Right.
And I look at the guards on the Knicks, and they don't defend, and they're too slow. By comparison to what's available in the NBA, they just don't. I mean, they've got the two big forwards. And they got a center that's you know, can block anything and gets his hands on. But the rest of the team is atrocious.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's strange because the Rangers are pretty consistent with having decent teams, but the same team, the Knicks, owned by the same people, just it's a disaster.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, apparently, I didn't see it, but there was a fight last night.
Yeah, there was. I think what it was, the Memphis, the guy took a 3-point shot towards the end. You know,
they were rolling the ball. Apparently, they're rolling the ball up the court. You know, like
right.
When he stole it and then shot it. You know.
Yeah.
Look at those things. You know, that's nonsense. But you know, the Knicks made that big trade as trading. The big center for a bunch of guys that they threw away and Smith. And, you know, I don't think, you know, you wonder what the hell. Just terrible trade.
Right. Yeah, Smith.
I don't care what the center was into or whatever. I mean, you don't make those trades. Why are you trading that?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd trade the whole team right now.
Yeah, management included.
Really, when you look at it, in the NBA, the last 4 minutes of a game is your star against the other team's star.
Right, right.
And it's always been that way, you know. Mm-hmm. And you look at the Lakers. You know, you got Davis. Boy, I've watched a few of his games. He is really a horse, right. You know. James. Mm-hmm. Now, you tell me which Nick would match up with those two. None.
It might take three of the Knicks to match up with those.
The
guys.
Knicks had 10 guys on the court. They couldn't beat the Knicks.
Right.
Or just look at the Mavericks. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, the kid.
Their guard or. You look at the Clippers or all these teams have, you know, they have a star. The Knicks have no star.
Right. Barrett's been all right, young kid, but, you know, he's not. RJ Barrett.
Well, he could turn into something, but, right. You know, a first-round pick, a lottery pick, should be dominating on your team. And the Knicks have Knox, and they have this kid. And, you know, they traded away the guy who was dominating 3 years ago. To me, there's no sense of urgency. I heard Hubie Brown talk about him. And Hubie was saying that, you know, the first thing you do is in the pros is you got to get the defense going. You have to. I mean, the game is, if you don't have defense, you can't play. You know, intensity rebounding, defense, and then, you got to have your guy who can dominate a game, an individual, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks have none of that. They have no defense.
Right.
They have no speed. I mean, I'm not saying they have some intensity. They have more now under Miller than they did before.
Right.
But they're not going anywhere.
Nah.
Where's the growth going to come from?
Yeah. Might be for the next generation. But, yeah. Well, this has been Win at the Horses. Bill Kelly and Joe Kelly, I want to thank Dad for stopping in and giving his insight on the horses. We both love them, and I'm sure our listeners do as well. We'll recap the stake races next week and maybe talk a little Saudi, right? Or no, that's next month.
Next month. That's the end of next month.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll have stuff to talk about next week.
And, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thanks to come on by and get some winners really along the way.
I enjoy it.
A lot of fun. All right. This has been Win at the Horses.com. Take care. Thanks for listening.